I am continuing this series talking about Peter, and really, I think Peter left us enough material and lessons that we could probably go a whole year talking about Peter, but I'm only going to do it in 4 weeks, just certain things. Today, we're talking about blessing, following, and obedience, and last week, if you tuned in, if you were here or watching online, I talked about a financial struggle that we had in that we faced in Chico financially, our personal, and I wish that I could tell you that was the only financial struggle we've had in our life, right? How many of you here have had financial struggles before? Keep your hand up if you've had more than one. Okay, yeah. So it's not like one and done, man. I'm glad that's over with. But it's something that just that happens, and I mentioned how in 1993, May of 1993, I transitioned out of the military. Joshua was still 2 months away from being one, so he was only 10 months old at the time I got out. Timothy was 3, and Rebecca was 4, and they were so cute, right? And then they grow up, and they're still cute, right? So we had 3 kids under 5, and so Colleen obviously could not go and get another job and pay childcare at the same time. How many of you know childcare for one is an arm and a leg? For 3, it takes your entire body. So so that was not an option. So she did do, you know, she watched other kids. She did Tupperware. Anybody ever do Tupperware? You been to one of those? And, you know, she did the parties, but we couldn't afford it. So, and did Avon, did different things in order to try to attempt to make ends meet. You know, I'm basically out of my secure income from the military, and now I'm delivering milk door to door. And let me just say, even when I was in the Army, I was an E5, I was still not making enough to really cover our bills. So I took a second job while I was in the Army delivering pizza for Pizza Hut. Yes, I did the. Anybody ever deliver pizza? Come on. Okay, a couple of people. Hey, listen, it's a great extra job for a little bit of extra money. So I did that. And we got out, and we were trying to walk in obedience to the thing that God has called us. And so now I find myself, and listen, my wife reminded me of this in the first service. When I was transitioning out, I was a heavy equipment operator while I was in the Army. So I actually had a job offer up in, I can't even think of the name of the town, up in the mountains, operating a grader that would have paid really well. And it was like, that was really tempting, but it was like, no, God, this is what you called us to do. So I took a job making $600 a month less than what the military paid me delivering milk. And let me just say, what we had coming in was not enough to cover what we needed. Anybody ever been there before, right? Things didn't look good. We needed a miracle. Somehow we needed God to provide. And listen, like I said, if you've ever totaled your expenses and income and you found out, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Maybe, here's the thing, maybe it was no fault of your own. Right. Sometimes we get in those situations, and maybe it was a medical bill. Right? Anybody? We've spent years paying medical bills off. Anybody else ever done that? Or your car broke down. That's the worst situation possible, and it breaks down, and it's like you got to get it fixed. You got to do something. Or if you've been laid off. If you ever lost a job, listen, those were circumstances that were way out of your control. There was nothing you could do, and you found yourself in a very tight place. But then on the flip side of that, and let me just say, we've been on both sides of this coin that I'm about to say, there were found ourselves in places of need because of bad decisions we made. We didn't really understand we understood credit cards, but it was like, oh, I can get this and buy it on credit, and we get it right now. Oh, yeah, that's $20 a month of payment, no problem. You get another one, $30. Next thing you know, uh-oh, right? Anybody ever been there? And so we started living, instead of living below our means, we were trying to live above our means, kind of like our government, right? Borrowing money from tomorrow to pay for today, and let's be honest, it works for a little while, but then it becomes difficult to make those monthly payments, You know, when you look at what's going on in our government right now, it's like, okay, oh man, I want to get that extra money. And let me tell you, I like extra money. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, but how many of you know somewhere it's going to be paid back, right? The payment is coming due eventually. So here's the thing. Whether it was your fault or the circumstances in your life are beyond your control, we've all been there. Am I right? Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you're in a situation right now and it seems impossible and you need a miracle in your life. So we're going to look at, we're looking at Peter's life. And I think he was fascinating. Last week we talked about, you know, he's one of Jesus' disciples and he's a small town guy that worked in a tiny fishing village and he was out fishing, came back in, and I'm not going to cover the whole story, but Jesus says to follow me. He told him, leave everything behind, your secure job, you know, your fishing business, two boats full of fish, and follow me. And that didn't make a lot of sense. I mean, it does for us now. We just kind of read through it. But if you're like Peter back then, like, oh, follow you? Wait a minute, I've got a business here. I've got boats here. It didn't make a lot of sense, but Peter did it anyway, right? He obeyed. And he caught all of that fish. He left everything. And Jesus said, you're going to become a fisher of men. So he was obedient. He left all of that. Peter traded security for insecurity. Right, okay, Jesus, like, if I follow you, how much does it pay? Right, how much am I? He didn't ask any of that. He traded having a very predictable life for what I would say unpredictable adventure. Right, because I believe we can trade in our life for an adventure following Christ. That's really what it is. And so this is what we learned mainly last week, is that following Jesus requires sacrifice. Like it did back then, how many of you know it still does today? There are things that we have to sacrifice when we begin to follow Jesus. And so as we get into today, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 17. And this was a point where Peter had a need. And here's the thing, because we already know what happens to Peter for the rest of his life, we know sometimes our need really isn't about that need at all, is it? What's happening is that God is taking opportunities to teach Peter a lesson that he's going to need further in life. And we've all probably been there at one point or another where you're going through something, you got a need, God is teaching you something, you're like thinking it's all about that need. No, God's putting something on the inside of you so that later on in life you're going to be able to walk victorious because you're going to be like, oh man, I remember when God provided here. I remember when God intervened back here. Now I'm in this position and it's like, well, if he provided then, he's going to do it now, right? So that's how God kind of is working in Peter's life. So let's look at this. It's in Matthew 17, starting at verse 24. It says, after Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collector of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? So the temple tax, this was not, you know, they had taxes that the Roman government collected. This is not that. This was not a Roman tax. What this basically was is, well, let me probably put it like how the scenario was going. The government, Roman government, was taxing them so much that they were supposed to give a free will offering to the temple to support the priest. Well, a lot of people weren't doing that, and so the priest and the temple, they were falling behind in their bills, so they instituted the temple tax. And so if I tax everybody this, then it's going to help make the shortfall. And let me just say, that wasn't just then. That has happened throughout history. There are nations in Europe still that have what we call a church tax. Part of your income tax, a small percent, actually goes to fund the church. That doesn't happen here in America. Because that was not what that was actually the whole reason behind the separation of church and state. Was not that you can't have God mentioned in the government. It was that the taxes were not going to support the church. That wasn't how Jesus intended. That wasn't how God intended it. But that was what it was. They couldn't enforce it, but yet, you know, the priests were good at condemnation, and they told you it's a sin if you didn't pay it. So a lot of people were under pressure to do that. So they're asking him, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? I mean, they're probably had a electric bill due, and they need, hey, listen, we got to go out and collect some more temple tax, right? So Peter replies, yes, he does. I don't know if Peter actually knew if Jesus did or not, but he just automatically answered that. And then it says, when Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others?" So what is that question about? In other words, what Jesus is saying, should the Son of God, because Jesus was the Son of God, the temple was his Father's house, should I have to pay tax in my Father's house? And he says, "What do you think?" And Peter says, "From others," Peter replied. And then Jesus says, "Then the sons are exempt." But Jesus said to him, "So that we may not offend them." So basically, Jesus is saying, listen, I shouldn't be required to pay this tax because that's my Father's house. I'm the son. This is not supposed to be collected from me. But I like what he says, "But so that we may not offend." See, Jesus was not willing to make something so minor and insignificant be used against him. And even though he didn't agree with it, he's like, "I'm not going to offend them, so let's go ahead and do this." So let's read the rest of it. "So that we may not offend them," he tells him, "Go to the lake, throw out your line, take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you're going to find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." Obviously, there's something interesting about this plan. I mean, if you've read the scripture a lot, you understand, oh, yeah, he goes out there and does it. But I want you to put yourself in Peter's position. You're coming in with this question, and Jesus tells you, "I need you to go fishing." And so let's learn some principles about this that I really believe will help you. If you've not learned these principles, I believe that they will help you. And the first one is not necessarily one of my points, but if you weren't, I should have made it a point. But the first thing that Peter did is that he left the tax collector, and where did he go? No, after he left the tax collector, he went to Jesus. And I think that it should be obvious, but sometimes it isn't. When we have a need, oftentimes we turn to other places other than Jesus, right? We go to other places. Oh, no, I've got a need. How can I fix that? And I'm just going to confess, I do the same thing sometimes even now. You know, I got a need, and my mind immediately wants to figure out how to come to that conclusion. How am I going to fix it? What am I going to do? Do I need to shift some money over here? Do I need to do that? Right? Come on. Anybody else confess that sometimes they don't always go to Jesus first? He went and went immediately to Jesus. And what a lot of times, especially in our society today, a lot of times we go to credit cards. Right? Oh, no, I got a need. I'll just put it on the card. And, you know, our kids, you know, kids when they're little and they see you paying with a credit card, they don't know the difference between a debit card and a credit card. It's like, oh, there's all these groceries. And, you know, how many of you remember when the credit card, they had the machine with, they rolled it back and forth. Some of the younger ones, you don't know what I'm talking about, right? It's like, you know, and it transitioned from that to slide it. Bleep. Yeah, that was easy. That was so much easier. And then it went to insert the chip, right? And it's getting even easier now because now you just kind of wave it over the machine. Bleep. And free money, right? Like the kids don't know. It's like, hey, you got all this stuff, and you just went bleep, and you just got all of that stuff for free. There's that. And kids think that, right? But how many of you know sometimes adults, we think the same thing? Oh, yeah, just bleep, I got that one, bleep. I want this new thing, bleep, just do it right. I didn't plan on bleeping, but anyway. We just look to it, and listen, we did not learn that lesson when we got married. It wasn't until we were deep in a hole of credit card debt that we realized maybe that was not a good plan. I mean, I may have shared this before. We ended up, because our kids were little, we needed a video recorder to record those precious moments. How many of you understand? That's a need, right? And so we went and charged and got from the Army. We charged on the PX a camcorder. And I want to tell you, a couple of years later, we couldn't afford it anymore. We had to sell that camcorder, but we were still making payments on it for another 3 years. We didn't even have it. We're making a payment on something that we don't even have, right? Come on. Anybody ever been in that hole? So credit cards are not the thing to turn to. I'm just going to tell you, if you can't pay it off every month, get rid of it. right? Dave Ramsey would say get rid of it anyway, but here's the thing. That's one thing. Sometimes we turn to other people. Oh, man, I'm in a need. And here's the thought. I promise you, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. This, if you really cared about me, you would give me money. If you really love me. And it's amazing how many people think that others are supposed to bail them out of their mess. Right? It's everybody else's job. Listen, if I had a dollar for every time somebody says, if you're really a Christian, you should give me money so that I can go on and keep making bad decisions and being a poor steward, right? Okay, they don't say that part, but and I can tell you, we've helped different people different times, and the minute you say no, how many of you know that sweet, humble face all of a sudden turns to anger? Right? It's like it's like, what happened to your face, you know? And so it's kind of like, you might be surprised. I mean, as a church, especially when you're a church that's in a visible location, when we were in Chico, you could see, you know, our church was very visible. A lot of people, so we had all kinds of people coming, asking for money. Freedom Church, how many of you know we're a little hidden back here? Right? But people still find their way here. And I'm thankful that Randy's office is before ours, because and it might surprise you how many people will step into the church, church they've never been to, asking for money. And it's kind of like going to a bank where you've never made a deposit and you're asking for a withdrawal. Right? I mean, think about it. Hey, listen, do you have an account here? No, but I need 20 bucks. Have you ever even been here? No, I was just walking by and I happened to see the bank here and I thought, you guys got money. Can I have some, right? So wrong thing to turn, you know, we turn to people. Sometimes, I know that nobody here has ever done that, we turn to gambling or the lottery, right? Oh, man, and I know I kind of touched on this last week. You're like, oh, man, what's up with the lottery thing? But, you know, people, I promise you, this was back in Texas. I was in a convenience store, had a line, so this one guy came in, and I don't remember how much he won off the scratch tickets. It was like 40 bucks or something like that. He immediately took the 40 bucks, bought $40 worth more of scratch tickets, scratching them over on the side, and won like maybe $15 off of those scratch tickets, goes and buys more until he ends up with nothing, right? Well, I mean, that just happens. Don't raise your hand if you've ever done that, but I'm just saying, that happens. So scratch, or the casinos, and it's like, oh, well, some people win. I've talked to people, you know, my brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, best friend always wins when they go into the casino, right? And so everybody knows somebody that seems to always win. I hear it all the time. What about all the people that don't win? Right? All of them help fund that person to get a little bit, and it's just a scam. I mean, how do you think they afford those buildings? Right? How do you think all of that happens? It's not because everybody's winning. I mean, and they stay open 24 hours a day. I'm thinking, who is up at 4 a.m. gambling? It's like something that if I can just get that one score, and we turn to it. And what happens is, if everything else has failed, you know what? I tried the credit card. I tried other people. I tried gambling. None of it didn't work. So who do we turn to? That's when we turn to God. Oh, God, now I need you. I feel like we've got things exactly opposite of how things should be, right? God should not be your last option. He should be what? Your first option. So when you're in need, learn from Peter and say, hey, listen, it's time to go to Jesus. They're asking about the temple tax. Where do I go? I need to go to Jesus. So there's something else interesting in this story, going back to verse 25. He asked him, does he pay tax? Yes, he does. And then look, immediately Peter walks into the house. Jesus was the first to speak. Peter didn't even say, hey, Jesus, here's an issue. The point that I want to point out is that God already knows your need. Yeah. Right? Whatever you're going through, whatever trial you're facing, whatever circumstance, how many of you realize God already knows? He already has this idea. And so, you know, some people understand this and they're like, well, God knows my need if he wants to meet it. We still have to ask, don't we? Right? We still have to vocalize it. It says this in James, you have not because you ask not. And well, if God already knows, why do I got to ask? Well, you know what? As our grandkids are growing up And Levi doesn't really say much, so we let him get away with, you know, and he can get his bottle. But Abby, don't. It's like if she wants something, we use your words. You, even if it's not great grammar or anything, or even says the word correctly, you want them to be able to ask, right? The same thing is with God. God is teaching us, and you're like, well, I don't really know how to ask. You know what? If you're only like a few months old in the Lord, ask like a few month old. God, help. How many of you know that's a pretty powerful prayer sometimes? I don't know. I don't know the scriptures to quote. I don't know all. No, just begin to ask. But understand, whenever you ask, whatever you ask, God already knows it. It's not like, oh, God, my transmission just went out in my car, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And then God's like, what? Your transmission went out? Oh, no, Jesus, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this, you know? God already knows. And many times he's just waiting for you to ask. I mean, a couple of scriptures, Matthew 6:8, your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask. But yet we still need to go and ask. What about down at verse 31 and 32? Don't worry. I was praying over this morning. Some of you guys are in a situation and you're worried about it. Catch this first part of that. Do not worry. Saying, what are we going to eat? What am I going to do about my transmission? What am I going to do about rent? What am I going to do about that? No, don't do that. For pagans run after these things, and your Heavenly Father already knows that you need them. So don't worry. And I believe that's good news. Amen. I believe that's great news. That God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is aware of my life. He's aware of my needs. He's aware of my circumstances. So all the things that bother you, all of the things that have weighed you down, that keep you up at night, oh God, I don't know what I'm going to do. God already knows. And we should be comforted in that. So with Peter, Jesus already knew Peter needed to pay the tax. And so Jesus tells Peter, the fisherman, remember, Peter's a fisherman, go fishing, right? That's what you do. And the first fish you catch is going to have a coin in its mouth. Take the coin and pay both of our taxes. And Peter's probably like, what? That's the plan? I mean, that's it? I mean, again, I want you to put yourself in Peter's place. Say it's tax season, right? So taxes are coming due. If you came to me and you have, like, it's 2 weeks before April 15th, and you're like, man, I owe $1,000. Pastor Scott, I owe $1,000. There's no way that I can get it. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm like, man, brother, I identify with you. I owe that same $1,000. What are we going to do? And we put our heads together, and I say, listen, why don't you just go fishing? And you're going to catch a fish. And I know this seems odd, but there's going to be $2,000 in that fish. I want you to take that $2,000 and pay your tax and pay mine. All right, go on down to the American River. If you knew there was a fish with $2,000 in its mouth, how many of us would be going fishing today? You over yet, Scott? I'm going to grab a bite of McDonald's and we're going fishing, right? Like really? Have a great day fishing. Listen, Peter was a fisherman, right? And fishing with a net was much more productive than fishing with a line, right? How many of you know you catch more fish with a net than you did with a line? But Jesus didn't want Peter to catch a whole bunch of fish, did he? He wanted him to catch what? One fish. With all the thousands of fish swimming in the Sea of Galilee, all Peter needed was that one fish that happened to have the coin in his mouth. So Peter's at this point, all he could do was like, Jesus just told me to go fishing. I'm going to go to the lake. I'm going to put my bait on my hook. I'm going to throw it out. And now all I can do is trust Jesus. All I can do is trust him. And listen, God made sure that the one fish that happened to be in the lake that had a coin in his mouth came and bit his hook. Like, what's the odds of that happening? Like, 1 in 100? 1 in 1,000,000? 1 in 1,000,000,000? How about 1 in? That ain't going to happen. Right? That's just not going to happen. The odds were deeply against him, but let me tell you, when God is on your side, all of a sudden the odds change in your favor. Things that seemed impossible, God makes possible. And you may look at your situation and say, Pastor Scott, I'm in a situation, there's no way I'm ever getting out of this. There's no way. The hole is too deep, the need is too great, it's just over. But I want to tell you that just as with Peter, God orchestrates, and this is my second point, God orchestrates events beyond my control. He begins to do things. He's working behind the scenes that you don't even realize, moving in circumstances in order to bless you. Amen? God knows what your need is. I hope you're hearing me today. He knows what your need is, and He knows the things that are best for you. And if I can remind you today that you can trust Him with whatever He wants to tells you to do. You know you can trust Him. Even as I was preparing that, this song kept coming in my mind, and I hope that if you walk away with anything, you can walk away with that today. You can trust Him. Oh, for grace. I love that, to trust Him more. God, help me to trust You. And Peter trusted Jesus. He went and did that. Jesus tells Peter, go fishing. Listen, there was work involved in fishing, right? I know that we like to do it for relaxation some, but Peter had a part to play. There was something that Peter had to do in order to see God's miraculous provision. He gave him instructions on something to do. And listen, He didn't tell Peter, hey, listen, I want you to go build a chair, sell that, and you're going to get 4 drachmas, because that was something that Jesus, that was His, He was a carpenter, right? Peter was not a carpenter. He didn't be like, build a what? You know, he gave him instruction to do something that he already knew how to do with skills that he had already developed over years. And to Peter, it probably didn't seem very spectacular, something meaningful, but I believe that Peter's ordinary obedience led to extraordinary results. Doing something. And I believe in the same way, listen, friends, you might have to do something for God's provision in your life. You may have to participate in some way. And I wonder if sometimes we miss the provisions of God because we just want it free and easy. Like, hey, Peter, here's 4 drachma, go pay it. Wouldn't that be nice? Just here. And we hear stories all the time of God's miraculous provision. And, you know, in our life, we've told this story. You may have heard it. Maybe you haven't. But when God was teaching us about tithing and trusting Him, we did it. And we took a step of faith at the church we were attending at the time. All of a sudden, the next day, we had an envelope that was the exact amount of our tithe. God had given it back. But can I tell you, we've only gotten the envelope with money one time in our life. It wasn't like, oh, I got a need. Where's the envelope, God? You know, how come nobody's giving me an envelope, right? Where is it at? I mean, we want that. We want that kind of a blessing. God, I want the envelope from a stranger kind of blessing. Right? Just fill it with money. And listen, I thought about it, you know, God, I don't want to go work. I don't want to have to go do that because that's going to take effort. I just want somebody to come up and give it to me. Somebody give me, I don't know where it came from. They said the Pentecostal handshake where you got like a $50 bill in your hand and shake hands with them and you walk away. Yes, God, that's awesome. No, God is going to have you step in. He may provide that way, but there's going to be something that you and I have to do. Maybe it's getting an extra shift at work. How many? The ability to work is a big deal, right? You might get more hours. He may give you a chance to sell something. Listen, we knew an individual that had a lot of need, but he had like 4 or 5 gaming systems that were worth several $100s. And I remember my wife suggested to him, maybe you ought to sell 1 or 2 of your gaming systems. It was like, she just said like something horrendous, like kill one of your children or something like that, right? And maybe you need to sell something. Like I said, we ended up having to sell that camcorder that we kept paying on. We had to do something. I took a second job delivering pizzas, whatever it took. Even when we were pastoring in Texas, I was the pastor of the church, but I also was on a school bus. I also substituted in the high school. And even when we got to Chico, my wife was, they called them the yard narcs. How many of you guys know what that is? Like security on the high school campus and got to ride around the cars and you know, you do whatever it takes in order to make things happen, right? And I want to tell you, God may want you to pick up tools that you already have, skills that you already have in order to see that happen, right? We've got to take a step. Peter, think about this. Peter could have gone out to the sea and thrown a net in the water, and then, you know, I got 100 fish here, start searching through all of those fish for the coin. How many of you know that would have been a lot of fish, wouldn't it? He wouldn't have found a coin because Jesus told him to throw a line in. He was obedient. He would have been disobedient by throwing a net, but he was obedient by throwing the line in. And I believe that that's our third principle that I want to talk about. Blessings follow obedience. It just does. I wish that there were another way around it, but that is God's word. God supplies the needs of those that walk in obedience to Him, right? This is not being dogmatic or you know, oh, you know what, you're just so uptight about it. Listen, of course you have financial needs. If we're walking in disobedient to God, what else do we expect? When we make decisions to disobey, we make the decision to forfeit God's blessings. Right? I know that this may be a hard pill to swallow sometimes, but too often we want the blessings of God. We want God's provision in our life without obedience. How many of you know you wouldn't raise your kids that way? Right? Oh, yeah, you can have all the benefits of the house. I don't care if you wreck everything. I don't care if you never come home at curfew. I don't care what kind of language you use. You know, how many of you know that wouldn't fly? I mean, our kids understood that you had to obey the rules of the house if you were going to get the blessings of the house, right? If you were lying, fighting, whatever, and listen, our kids were perfect. They never did anything wrong, just so you, all right, maybe I'm lying right now. Just like I was perfect, right? No, I'm just kidding. We want God's obedience. God does not raise us that way. If we wouldn't do it, what makes us think that God is going to do it? You see, obedience is a choice that you and I get to make. We can't expect to be blessed when we're walking in disobedience. It just doesn't work that way for us, and it doesn't work that way for God. And can I tell you, I don't know where I got this quote from, but it says, you can't disobey your way to a miracle. If I need a miracle, if I need God to come through in my life in some way, I can't just keep ignoring God's word. I can't keep just going in my own direction, because throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, God ties his blessing and his divine provision directly to our obedience. Right? It doesn't come one way or the other. And listen, I've covered some of these scriptures before, but I believe that sometimes as people and sometimes as Christians, we are notorious for claiming a promise of God and not looking at the whole scripture in context. Am I right? Can I give you a few examples? Yes, you may. Thank you. I'm glad you asked. Leviticus 26:4. And listen, this was an agricultural land. They needed rain and everything. He said, God says, I will send the seasonal rains, the land will yield its crops, and the trees of the field will produce fruit. That's a great promise, right? God's going to send the rains when they need to come. All of our harvests are going to. But what is verse 3? Look at the verse right before it. If, everybody say if. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, then we get the promise. There's always this contingency on claiming the promises of God. What about Deuteronomy 11:26? I love this. Look, today I'm giving you the choice. Everybody say choice. Choice. Between a blessing and a curse. Now, I'm going to stop right there, because I think about if you were to say, hey, if I said, hey, listen, would you like $100 or a punch in the face? Well, that punch in the face sounds really good, but I think I'll opt for the $100, right? Like, that's really what he's saying. Do you want a blessing or do you want a curse? And it's a choice. And what is the choice hinged upon? Verse 27, you will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. And then verse 28, but you will be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him. So it's the blessings of God are contingent on that. Let's see, is there any more verses? Oh, Deuteronomy 15. And I love the way this one starts out. There should be no poor among you, for the Lord your God will greatly bless you in the land he's giving you as a special blessing. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. No poor. Can you imagine a country where there's not one poor person? Well, look what he goes on to say. You will receive this blessing if you are careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God today that I'm giving you today. What about this one? Deuteronomy 28. If, notice that word if keeps coming in there, right? If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all of these blessings. There it is again. If you obey the Lord your God. What are just some of the blessings? You can read the whole chapter. It's really good. But here's just the next few verses. Your towns and your fields will be blessed, right? Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offsprings of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. And wherever you go, whatever you do, you will be blessed. How many of you see that it just keeps tying in? God's promises and provisions really hinge upon our obedience to his word and his command. I can't, there's no other way around it. And you might say, well, Pastor Scott, that's Old Testament. I'm a New Testament Christian. I'm a New Testament believer, so none of that stuff applies now. Well, let me look at, I could pull up several, but I'm just going to pull up one verse, 1 John 3:21-27. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive from him whatever we ask. Why? It's not if, but because, the same thing. Because we obey him and do the things that please him. Amen? Amen. Can I just tell you, I've heard people quote this scripture many times, but they only quote this part. I'll receive whatever I ask from God. And then they stop right there. God, I'll receive whatever I ask. That's what your word says. But it also says, if we obey him. Right? If we leave off part of the scripture, that's like going to a car dealer and he says, listen, I'm going to give you the keys to this car if you'll sign this contract and pay me $300 a month for the next 5 years. And you walk away from that and you're like, woohoo, they said they're going to give me the keys to the car. How many of you know I left off a part?
right? I still got a sign, and there's a part that I have to do. So God's blessings, like I said, it's clear, are tied to our obedience. It just is. Old Testament, New Testament. And listen, I just want to say, yes, there are times you're going to have difficulty. There's times, even as a believer, even though we've tithed, that we have faced financial difficulties. So that's not always you're facing difficulties, that's because you don't tithe. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's times that that's going to happen, but I do want to say this. Sometimes the circumstances of your life are an indicator of disobedience. Does that make sense? Sometimes the circumstances are, especially when those things form a pattern, right? When that pattern happens in your life, like if you always have relationship problems, like, oh man, here we go again. Oh man, here we go. If you always have financial trouble, if you always have all, listen, we need to take a time and sometimes step back and say, God, is there an area I'm not walking in obedience? Is there something that I'm not doing that your word commands? Like, if you haven't been obedient, we need to see where it is that we've walked in disobedience and change. It's as simple as that. It really is. So maybe you haven't been tithing on your income. And remember, a tithe is how much? 10%, right? Okay, I'm just going to tell you, I've heard people say, well, you know what, I only tithe 5%. How many realize the word tithe actually means 10%? So if you're doing anything less than 10%, you're only tipping God, right? Like, God is not your waiter, is he? So you're giving an offering, but if I'm doing anything less than that, then I'm not tithing. I'm not walking in obedience in that. And listen, I'm not saying this because, oh man, we need to get more money here at the church. I don't try to say this to manipulate or anything like that, because that's not it. I just know that in my life and the lives of many others, that it is a principle that works. When you give to God and when you're obedient to Him, God blesses you in return. Right? Yes, you're still going to face trouble. Yes, you're going to face trial. But listen, God's going to get you on the other side. Amen? Amen? What about other areas? Maybe God told you to tell somebody about Jesus and you hadn't done it. Right? It's like, you know what, God, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know about that. What if they look at me funny? Who cares? They'll probably look at you funny anyway. Right? It's time to go tell that person about Jesus. It's time to have boldness and step up. Maybe you've got gifts and talents and you haven't been using them. You're like, I just don't have time for that. It's time to step up and say, God, use me in whichever way you want. Maybe you're in a relationship and you know you're not being obedient to God's word and God's command. Listen, we got to change those things, right? We got to make things right. Maybe you're hanging on to unforgiveness. Nobody here's ever done that one, right? Let's just be honest. Everybody has struggled with unforgiveness. I don't know of any. Oh, yeah, man, I forgive everything. I forgive that. I forgive this. Punch me in the face. I forgive you. It's all good, right? No, it's something that we hang on to, even though we know God says, we've got to forgive. If you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive you. So I would say if you're hanging on to it, begin the process. It is a process of walking in forgiveness. If you need help on that, don't be ashamed. Listen, we can help you to begin to walk through that process. We can direct you to people that maybe you can talk it, because some things are small and easy to forgive. Some things are very difficult, am I right? Some things really take an intervention and prayer, and you might need somebody to help walk you through that path of forgiveness. So if you're in that situation, let us know. Don't just say, okay, I'm going to forgive, and then you don't, right? Find out whatever point in your life where disobedience is, because if we don't cut that off, what we end up doing is cutting off the blessings of God in our life. Amen? Blessing follows obedience. I think we need to remember that. Peter obeyed. He threw his line in the water, and he waited for that nibble, right? And listen, we don't know exactly how all of that happened, and I don't know about you. I like to imagine the story. And how things happen. I can imagine Peter sitting there with his fishing line in the water, and somebody comes up and says, hey, what are you doing? What are you fishing for? And he responds, my taxes. Trying to catch my taxes. You know, a few moments later, he feels that tug on the line, and when he takes out the hook, he opens up the mouth and opens the fish's mouth and discovers a coin. And it's like, whoa, you know, that fish happened to be at the right place
at the right time. Like, again, what are the odds? And I believe this is my last point that I want to cover. God will use unexpected methods to bless you and to meet your needs. Unexpected. Like, nobody expects a coin in a fish's mouth, but I believe that God's divine appointments are never disappointing. God, how many of you, maybe you've got an amazing story or you've heard amazing stories of how God provides in ways like, whoa, I didn't even see that coming. Over and over, I've heard that. And I shared with you a little bit ago of how, you know, we got out of the Army. I wasn't making that much money. We didn't have enough for our kids. It was Christmas time coming up, and my wife was, let me just say, I had her share this to the first service so that I could get it right, because I was working a night shift, so I was asleep most of the day. I don't even remember what happened to that part of my life, but she knew that we needed some stuff, and she went to like this little strip mall that was doing this big promotion. There were about 15 stores and shops that were in there. There was a grocery store and a number of others, and they were like, everybody was doing a drawing for a prize, you know, gift cards, gift certificates that you could shop at that store. So 15 or 20 of them that were there, and she had the kids, all of them, you know, under 5 years old, pushing them along. She went there with a friend, and she goes, oh, you know what? I'm just going to go to every store, and I'm going to fill out, you know, didn't have the money to spend, but went into every store, filled out the little name, put it in the bucket, see if they could win it. She did, and it took her a little while to do it, and a couple of weeks later had passed. She didn't hear anything, but all of a sudden, she got a phone call from one of the stores. Hey, you won first prize at our store. And so she was, they didn't have text messages or anything, anyway. And so she's like, oh, cool. So all of a sudden, she started getting another call from another store. And after all the calls were over, she ended up winning first prize in six of those 15 or 20 stores there. You know, one was like $50 gift certificate, $100 gift certificate. And it was like, what in the world are the odds? I mean, there were a lot of people putting names in there. The odds of winning just one was pretty awesome. But she ended up, you know, we got groceries, we got gift baskets we were able to buy, and our kids razzed us about it. But they, what were the little MP3 players? It was from Bed Bath & Beyond, you know, it was really cheap and lame. But it was like, hey, listen, they got those things. And because my wife filled that out. And honestly, we believe that it was God providing in an unexpected method to bless us and to meet our needs. Right? Isn't that a weird story? But that's just kind of how God works, that when you try to walk in obedience and you follow after him, God's going to pop up and bless you in a way like, whoa, I didn't even see that coming. How did you do that, God? That doesn't make any sense. And let me just say this. I think I touched on this last week. It's not like, okay, I've been obeying you for a week now, God. How come things in my life haven't changed? Right? How many of you know any of us can be good for a week? Right, anybody's gonna. It's a life process. It's like, okay, God, and you know, my wife reminded me that when I got out of the military, like I said, I was a heavy equipment operator. I got offered this job up in, again, I still can't remember the name of the city, but it was operating a grader, and it was gonna be like $50 an hour, and I'm like, whoa, you know, how many of you know that was tempting? $50 an hour or minimum wage delivering milk. And I'm like, okay, God, this is what you call us to do. We're going to stay here, even though we're going to be dirt poor. But God blessed us, and God continued to bless us. So what I want to say is not just like, okay, I've been doing it for a week. Why haven't things changed? Remember what Galatians 6:9 says, let's not get tired of doing what is good, or we can even say right, because at the right time, we are going to reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. I want to encourage you to keep obeying. Whatever it is, keep walking, keep trusting God. I hope you walk away with that song that Timothy sang earlier, trust him. God, help me to trust you more. What is it that you're going through? What obstacle, what challenge, what difficulty, whether it's financial, whether there's relationship issues, whether there's a health issue that's going on in your life. Listen, we face a bunch of different issues. But we can trust God to get us to the other side. We can trust God to bless us whenever we need to. But we've got to check our lives. We have a part to play in this, don't we? Yes.
We have a part to play. We've got to step out of the boat if we need to. We've got to throw a fishing line in the water if that's what God tells us to do. Whatever it is, let's walk in obedience. God, I want to follow. And again, please hear my heart. This is not about being legalistic. This is not about, oh man, if you don't do this, then you know God's going to zap you. It's not about that at all. It's about positioning. You know, while God is positioning circumstances in your life, we've got to be in the position to receive that. If God's pouring out His blessings right here, and I'm standing over here in disobedience, all these blessings are coming down, but I'm not getting any of it. Maybe you felt like that way. Maybe you feel like, man, why do I see this person blessed? Why do I see that person blessed? Maybe it's because they have positioned themselves to receive that, and we're still struggling over here. I don't want to forgive that person. I don't want to do that. You know what? I don't want to do all this. I don't want to give any money. The church has got enough money. It's time that we say, okay, God, I want to position myself for where You've called me. Help me to walk in obedience. And listen, when we blow it, anybody here ever blow it? Just get back up again and begin to walk in the forgiveness that God has called us to, and then begin to receive the blessing. So if I can have everybody stand. Listen, after service, if you need individual prayer, then we'll pray for you. But I just want to pray. If you're here today and there's a need you have, whether it's financial, physical, whatever it is, I mean, I'm not going to ask you what it is, but you just need some trust to trust Jesus in this. You're saying, God, help me. I need that. Can you just raise your hand? Father, I thank You. There are needs here, Lord God. There are needs of people that are watching online. And Lord God, You are more than able. Father, Your word says, you ask this rhetorical question, is Your arm too short? And Father, the answer is, of course not. Lord God, You are more than able to meet every need. Lord, there are financial situations that I believe some people are facing right now that look impossible, looks way too deep and way too big. But oh God, You are bigger than all of that. Lord, You can meet those needs. Lord God, you can make ends meet and exceed that, oh God. So Father, we just lift those that are struggling with finances, whatever it is, Lord God, I'm asking that You would open a door that only You can open. Father, that You would bring provision where only You can provide. Lord, let us begin to realize that You're working behind the scenes. All we have to do is be in the position to be able to receive that. Father, for those that are struggling with a health issue, health crisis, Lord God, You are healer. Lord, You are healer. And Lord God, regardless of what things look like, Lord God, we put our trust in You as our healer. Father, I know that there's some relationship issues, maybe between moms or dads or between kids, or Lord God, maybe there's some that are contemplating divorce right now, Lord God. Father, I just pray right now that Lord God, You can bring healing in midst of that. Father, You can allow truth to begin to come out. And so, Father, as we position ourselves, Lord God, we position ourselves in humility, Father, to receive that blessing. Lord God, I pray for restored relationships between marriages. Lord, restored relationships with sons and daughters. Lord God, with moms and dads. Lord God, You can do that. You can restore. Lord, there's people that have had lifelong friends that have severed relationships. Lord God, I believe You can restore those. You can restore that. Lord, instead of walking around in grief, Lord God, we can begin to declare Your word. So, Father, we thank You right now. And listen, I want to pray as well, because maybe you're here, maybe you're watching online, and you've not surrendered your life to Him. You're like, whoa, what is all this blessing stuff? Listen, the first blessing you receive is eternal life. Amen? So if you've never made a commitment, or maybe you need to make a fresh commitment to Jesus, I'm just going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to die on a cross for my sin, that everything that I've done wrong is already paid for, and I don't have to pay it. So I receive that free gift of salvation. by trusting in you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.